Today on Real Radio.
The Bible says 3,000 years ago to you today, make a joyful shout. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Do you? Do you want to? Come before his presence with singing. Is this the God you know?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know, a collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We're in a mini-series called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation. We've been spending some time in this topic to deal with common questions related to the subject. Now, one that's often asked is, if I'm in a backslidden state, living a life of sin, if you will, at the moment of my death, will I lose my salvation? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, answering the question from the pages of Scripture. It's one of his lessons called, You Need to Know All About Your Salvation.
When he's at work in your life, even while he's cleaning house, the joy of that causes you to invite others to know him too. Yeah. Have you noticed that sin, pride, puffed Pharisees lead nobody to Christ? They're so impressed, they've become legends in their own mind. They only keep in touch with themselves. And they don't share the Lord with anybody. It's almost like they belong in some exclusive club. Not the person that God is working in their life. Because every time Jesus cleans a room in our house of life, and he gets ready to go down the hallway of our hearts to another room, that joy and liberation is so exciting, we've got to tell other people about what's going on. Listen, some of you, my friends, listen, don't tell me you don't know this. In fact, some of you, thank God, don't know this, but many people have been so beaten in their Christianity that they will never even think about sharing the Lord with somebody else because, frankly, they're saved, but they're so defeated, there ain't nothing to share. That means they're saying things like this. Why should I tell people about Jesus? I know I'm going to heaven. I know he's awesome, but my life stinks. I am so fearful. I am so terrorized. I'm such a goof. I always mess up. I never pray enough. I never read enough. I never give enough. You know what I'm talking about? And they get so defeated that they can't share Jesus with anybody because they wouldn't give this Jesus that they're dealing with to anybody. That is false Christianity. Jesus says, go out there. Go to the ends of the earth. It kind of makes you think that those early disciples had something glorious to say. And they believed it. No wonder why Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners, but Jesus died for me. We have lost it, ladies and gentlemen. We need to get back to the fact that, listen, God has dealt with us and is in fact dealing with us. And that dynamic of victory causes us to tell others. I believe it is the greatest hindrance to Christians today of spreading the gospel is that they don't feel worthy. They don't feel like they've met the standard. And that is a false, false message that you're receiving. That is condemnation that Romans 8 verse 1 says is not yours any longer in Christ. You need to remember that. And remember this. I said it last week. I want to say it again. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, not your personality. Did you hear that? Your personality is not a sin. Your sin is a sin. Your personality is you. But why are some sins harder to get rid of? Some of them are entrenched. And those things, listen, this verse applies as many others do, but this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. All of you who are Christians, write this down. All of us are dealing with this. This is true discipleship. I'm going to give you a verse that is going to sum up discipleship regarding this area. Abstain from every form or all forms of evil. Look at that verse. Abstain. What does that word mean? I think you know what it means. Get away from it. The world, listen, the Greek word abstain, which your Bible is written in here in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, the word means hold back yourself. That's self-control. I don't have self-control, do you? I have to have God Give me his self-control. I'm going up to Sacramento to speak before this Senate up there. And I'm praying. Number one thing, I know what to say. Here's my prayer. You can pray for me, okay? God, help me to say what I'm supposed to say and not what I want to say. That's called self-control. You know what I'm saying? That word abstain means this. It means to barricade off from. You know a barricade? It means to put up a fence. That's good. Put up a fence around your life. Put up a barricade around your life. God is telling the Christian, here's what you do in the world you live in that's filled with sin, filled with temptation, filled with evil. Barricade yourself off from it. Christians, listen up. Barricade yourself off from it. Don't buy the book. Don't watch the movie. Don't go to that place. God says to his kids, barricade yourself off from every form of evil. Now listen to this. The word form here in 1 Thessalonians 5:22 means this. Appearance, it means the appearance of, the fashion, the shape of, the sight of. It means, listen, the word means barricade yourself off from everything that suggests evil. It doesn't even have to be evil. Is this amazing? The Bible says, run, flee, barricade yourself off from anything that resembles evil. Get away from it, run! My computer, everybody in my family, everybody on staff, well, I don't mean everybody on staff, there's a lot of people on staff, I mean people who need to have access to my computer. You know, I have a password on my computer in case somebody steals it. I have a password on my computer in case anybody steals it. But there are 25 people who know the password of my computer. You want to know why? Because I ain't got nothing to hide. You want to know why? Because I don't do porn. You want to know why? Because I don't rob banks. You want to know why? I don't hack on to people. You know, and here's the deal. Even still, I'm searching a Bible verse online, click, boom, and on the right side is Liberty University. Sign up today, Azusa Pacific. You know those banner things that pop up? And on the left side are boys and girls, not boys and girls, at my age, it's boys and girls it looks like, but these are young adults in Chino Hills that are looking for a date. So wait a minute, I've never done such a thing. My computer, I've tried to keep it as pure from this world as possible, and yet it's a sinner. Have you noticed? Because listen, many times my computer has a voice command, and so I'll be talking out because some people have suggested I have ADD. I'm not sure if I do or not, but I'll set up my computer on voice command, and I'll say, point number three is this. Jesus Christ said, and it's writing it down. And then I'll go back, and it's like, oh, I never said those words. That goes to show you all things are under the sway of sin. Even my computer is sinful because I said, dearly beloved. Jesus said, dearly beloved. And that's not the word it put down there. Why? Because it's sin. It's sin. Build a barricade and watch out from every form of evil. Run. Yeah, but all my friends, they like it. Run. Yeah, but you know what? I'm just curious. Barricade yourself from the world. See, people are going to think I'm weird. Two things on that. Number one, they already think you do, but they haven't told you. And number two, I'd rather be a weirdo for Jesus than be accepted by this nutcase world. Psalm 51, verse 12, to prove my point. Psalm 51, verse 12, Psalm of David. David, by the way, he writes this psalm after his sin has been found out with Bathsheba. Remember that? David says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Christian, listen. Does joy mark your life? David said, restore, bring it back. What? The joy of your salvation. And uphold me by your generous or gracious spirit. Then, notice that, that's a timestamp. Then, only then, when that's done, then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. Do you see that? Listen, know that you're saved. Be joyful that you're saved. Yes, you're growing. Yes, there's temptations. Yes, we trip up and fall. God picks us back up and sends us on our way. And then we get up and, like David said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. And then I'll be able to tell sinners about you. Do you see the difference? Oh, I got to go witness because I just got to get the marks in my evangelistic Bible belt. I got to share the Lord with at least one person every day. Stay home. Now, if you get to do that because you're so pumped up about what God has done to you, then go out there and tell them. Romans 6, verse 11 says, "You likewise reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin." This is the Bible speaking, Romans 6, 11. "You likewise reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That is an awesome. You want a tattoo? You get that tattoo. That's amazing. That's awesome. By the way, the word reckon there, it's a math term. It's an accounting term, mathematics. The word means this. You likewise do the math. The word means look at the Bible, all of it, all of it. That's what the word means. Do all the math, figure it out. This is very, very spunky verse here, very sassy verse. He's saying, get out of my face. I'm making this part up right now. Just get out of my face, go find out what the Bible says from top to bottom, left and right, bring back what the Bible has to say and draw the line, do the math, hit equal. You're gonna get a number, and here's the number. Listen, here's the number. When you accepted Jesus, the power of sin died in your life. So stop goofing off with it. You died to it. You are now alive to Jesus. When the temptation comes, when the sin knocks on your door, when that thought or whatever comes into your life, say, wait a minute, wait a minute. I died. The moment I accepted Christ, I died. There's a new me. This new me that's arguing with myself. You want to talk about bipolar? This is bi-universe. This is bi-Jack. This is bi-worlds. What's the word? Bifurcation, you know? Split. The old Jack says, hey, let's do this. The new Jack in Christ says, sit down. The old Jack goes like this, but I want to eat donuts until I drop dead. And the new Jack says, no, I'll tell you what we're going to do. The old Jack says, we're not going to church today. The new Jack says, I'm the one giving the message. We are going to church today. That's the Christian life. The new you is to tell the old you where to go. I mean that biblically. Colossians 3, verse 1 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Wow. Where Christ is, the things of heaven, seated at the right hand of God. Number 2, or verse 2, set your mind on things above. Well, that rules out a lot. Not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Look at you. Look at you. Bunch of dead folk here. You're all dead. I'm dead. We're all dead. The old us is dead. The new life lives. That's why you're here. You got up this morning to gather to this, what's called a convocation. You live with Jesus. You're walking with Jesus every other moment of the week. I understand that. But we've come together in what's called a holy convocation in the Old Testament. It's whenever God's people gather together around God. That's why you're here. Oh, this gets better. Psalm 100, this is awesome. This is 3,000 years old. And I want you to mark this up against how you feel versus what you know. Did you all hear me? Yes. Put this up against how you feel versus what you know. Psalm 100, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Number one, don't answer. When's the last time you made a joyful shout to the Lord and you meant it? It's something. It's not me saying, okay, on the count of three, let's make a joyful noise. That's not what it means. It means that you're the realization how amazing God is and how great his salvation is. It just causes you to go like this. Like it's like, yes. You know those moments? It's almost like God peels back a cloud layer for a second, go, whoosh, Just a moment. Just a shot of like, oh, you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been there? You can be doing anything. And it's, oh, God, it's, oh, you're amazing. And then it stops. It's that fast. Over. I love when that happens. It's funny, too, because that realization happens, at least in my life. You think, I wish it would happen when I'm like studying the Bible. It doesn't happen like that. It happens after I leave my Bible. As I put my Bible down, I get out and I go live. And I'm glad it happens this way. I can be mowing the lawn, or I can be doing something. I can be whatever it is. It doesn't matter. And then there's that thing. It's just that revelation of, Jack, love you, buddy. I got a seat waiting for you up here. Yes! You know what I'm talking about? And it's like, no more. Don't do that again. God, that's amazing. I just, thank you. But please, I can't take it. The Bible says, 3,000 years ago, to you today, make a joyful shout. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Do you? Do you want to? Come before his presence with singing. Is this the God you know? You know, we're going to church. Look, it's like this. We're going to church. Where are you going? Church. Oh, man, for those of you who have been to Israel or you're going to go to Israel, on Friday afternoon, it's just us here right now, right? Just us. On Friday afternoon, all the Muslims gather for prayer. They hit the ground and they stick their rear end straight toward the Temple Mount. The rear end. At the same time, the Jews start singing. And they start dancing. I'm serious. They dance and they sing and they face the Temple Mount and they walk, they dance arm in arm, singing, coming down to the Wailing Wall, and they pray. And then they won't turn their back on the last place God was seen on earth. They won't turn their back. They sing with joy and they go backwards until they're away from it to honor him. Two worlds completely separate. And you watch this. So what's all that noise? Oh, those are the Jews. They're going to the Wailing Wall. And then you hear singing through the narrow little stone streets. They're going to go pray. And they're joyous over it. God help us. May we never be a church where it's so liturgical and dead. And what would heaven be like without joy? Absolutely. Amazing. I have to shorten this up real quick. Third argument is this: he's preparing us to be prepared. While we wait for him to return, what do we do with our salvation? Well, he's preparing us to be prepared. So what does that mean? Well, let's ask this subtitle question. What happens to the carnal Christian at the point of the rapture? You've been told by many people that you're left behind. You're a Christian, but you're going to have to go through the tribulation period because you didn't earn rapture points. You're carnal. You had a bad thought at the moment of the rapture, or you went to a movie theater and the rapture happened. You stepped out of the movie and it was over and everybody got raptured but you. What happened? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and, listen, am persuaded, what, Paul? That he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. Regardless of me, he's going to do it. Next thing. You know that Jesus speaks in numerous parables that we are to be watching and being ready. We need to do that. That doesn't save us. We are to be watching for him for a reason. What is that reason? Here it is. 1 John, mark it. Everybody needs to mark this down, and then we're going to go to our closing point. 1 John 2, verse 28. This is awesome. 1 John 2, 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have, what is the word? Confidence. Say it louder. Confidence. Confidence, and not be, what's that next word? Ashamed before him at his coming. Everybody look. I need you to look. I want that fear to be silenced in your life from this moment on. Watch this. John is saying to Christians, hang out with Jesus. Stay close to him. The word abide means to live in the house with. Okay? Why? Oh, because when he appears, here's what I want you to be like. I want you to be confident when he appears. No matter what's going on in life, it's like, yeah, Jesus is coming. Woo! Last night, I got a Tony Perkins, he called, and we were talking for a second, and he said, this thing's going on, and I just said, Lord Jesus, please come back now. Please come back now. And he said, amen to that. I love that. It was a three-minute exchange, and what brought healing comfort was, yep, world's gone nuts. Government's gone nuts. Nation's gone crazy. But the Lord's coming back. So watch this. Have confidence. Hang out with Jesus. You're going to have confidence when he comes so that you're not ashamed. Does that verse say that people who are ashamed at his coming don't go? No, it means that when he comes, if you're goofing off, you're going to be ashamed. Did you get that, everybody? Take a deep breath. Get it. What should this cause you to do? It should cause you to be so excited that you want, if you're not right with God, Christian, get right with God now. Amen. Why? Because you want to stand before him, not ashamed. Listen, when the trumpet blows, you ought to be looking up with joy as you go past a couple of satellites and some 747s on the way up. Woo-hoo! Versus, oh boy. Can you imagine? You're a Christian, you've been dabbling in a little pornography, and you're miserable because you're backslidden. Your life's messed up. God's not answering your prayers. And you know it's wrong. You want to go to heaven, but this keeps pulling you. Number one, you keep letting it pull you. Throw your computer away if you can't control yourself. Build a fence around your life. Okay? Secondly is this. If it happens, the Bible says you'll be ashamed when it happens. When the Lord comes back for you, he doesn't want you to be ashamed. He wants you to go, yeah! Woo! On the way up, if we look down at all, it's like, I told you. I told you, people. Be ready. And then here's where we end. He's revealing us to himself. Every day. Christian, listen. Every day, victory or defeat, joy or sadness, sun shining, no sun at all, hills green, hills on fire. He's preparing you and I. He's getting us ready to meet him. It's called the Christian walk, and it is more than dynamic. It is more than exciting. It is more than meaningful. It's the only, and it will only be the only thing that ever makes sense of this life. That God is in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation. It's one in a mini-series that speaks specifically to a believer who is in a backslidden state. You Need to Know All About Your Salvation is taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies called You Need to Know. And we'll continue with more on the next edition of Real Radio. Merry Christmas from Pastor Jack and all of us here at Real Radio. And may your Christmas be filled with moments of love and laughter as you consider what the Lord has carried you through, especially during this difficult and challenging year. And our prayer for you this Christmas is that 2021 will be filled with the joy that can only come from knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Jesus is the reason we celebrate Christmas, and it's given us great joy to share our radio program with you. Thanks for welcoming us into your home and into your life. Merry Christmas from Pastor Jack and all of us here at Real Radio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. here on Real Radio.